Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
Many a day has passed. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, we're back with another episode, man. This time we're gonna talk recruiting, man. So I don't know what just happened to Sam, but listen, man. We already know there's no behind the scenes here, man. We give it to you however we present it, man. So, but no, before we get started, make sure you click that like button, click the subscribe button, click all the buttons you need to, man. Like the pod, rate, review, subscribe when you see it, all sorts of stuff, man. Y'all know what to do, man. Y'all ain't new here, but if you are new here, welcome for the first time, man. So I'm assuming Sam just had a phone call, is what it looked like. I'm gonna jump in a little bit and kind of give you a brief overview. I mean, this episode is simple. It's about recruiting. Florida State finished with, I mean, depending on the website, the ninth class. I've seen, I don't know what on 3 Beyond, but they got Florida State ranked as the 11th class. Regardless, it doesn't matter, man. Florida State finished with a top 10 class, and we're gonna talk about it. Sam, you ready, man? I think you're on mute.
Oh, sorry about that, man. Somebody called me. I had to take that call.
All good, man. All good. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this, man. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Hey, man, let's do it. So, yeah, I just told the people, man, Florida State is finished with the number 9 class. There were some hits. There were some misses, as usual. But I guess we'll break it down, man. Like I said, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. If y'all going to post comments, I mean, if you want questions, go ahead, hit your questions now. We'll get to them at the end.
Okay. Yeah, man.
What's your thoughts, man? What were your thoughts overall, man, on the class?
I just
want to
say, everybody called me a hater when I said it wasn't finishing the top 5. Y'all can apologize for that now. I knew it was going to be round from 8 to 12. So, but I actually thought it was a good class, though. I actually thought it was a good class. I don't think it was a bad class. Not a bad class at all, to be honest with you. It's the best class Norvell's brought in here since he's been here. So I don't think you can really hate on it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it really is nothing to hate on. You know, I forgot who it was. Somebody posted the blue chip rate. I don't like diving in all those, you know, weird numbers and metrics. But I mean, if that is something to look at, then I'm gonna say good. Good job for Florida State. They've hit on a lot of blue chips. They definitely have found some pieces, I guess I'm gonna say. But I don't have very many complaints.
The secondary class is really good. The wide receiver class is really good. You know, I think everybody's just kind of pissed off about, well, you know,
everybody pissed off about losing.
I think it's because of the expectations that gets built up, over some of these recruits. And, sometimes what I would caution people is sometimes you have to think about recruiting in a way that it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, step away from fandom a little bit and just kind of think about it. Like, what would the best wide receiver in Florida, what school would he go to? You know what I'm saying?
Ohio State.
Right? I mean, that's normally where they go. Ohio State, Alabama, right? That's normally where they go, right? So
you can't even argue it. I mean, right. Ohio State has been wide receiver U for a good little while now. I mean, I don't need – again, take a step back. Remove the fandom and just start looking, you know, logically, right? You say, KJ, you say, all right, we have a wide receiver in Jeremiah Smith. Mm-hmm. Right now, Florida State doesn't have a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, even if I am Jeremiah Smith and I'm the number one wide receiver in the nation, Florida State doesn't have a quarterback. So right. Without me knowing even what quarterback it is, I'm going to the school that I know for a fact just produces number one wide receivers. I'm the number one wide receiver in the country. I'm going to go to the number one. It's not even rocket science. You know what I mean? I don't blame him. I never expected it. Let me be clear. I know Sam, I don't think ever expected him to come to Florida State either. we tell a lot of lies in this fan base. We tell a lot of lies in this fan base, man. And I guess that's as simple as it put, man. We do a lot of, I think me and Sam talked earlier today, I think I called it hope trafficking. We do a lot of hope trafficking in this fan base where I don't know if we really have realistic expectations to get certain players or perform in certain areas. But then, you know, we start letting a lot of beat writers and fans and folks just on Twitter, you know what I mean? And folks just on Twitter tell us that we're going to get certain players and we just really never have a chance, man. We just really never have a chance.
Yeah, and yeah, I think like people keep saying, you know, they need to close a little bit better than what they do. And I think they need to – they do need to close better. But I also think that a lot of it is just kind of where you at as a program too. You know, you talking about going big game hunting and big fish hunting for some of these big time recruits. Like somebody was saying, like, I think we was in Spaces last night. And Doc was talking and she had somebody in there that had a another recruit's mom in there, and they were talking about Mike and, you know, the differences in certain coaches and how they close and everything. And, you know, they didn't say nothing bad about Mike, you know. But, you know, they were just saying, you know, he's a nice guy. He does some good things. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, at the end of the day, because I know a lot of people got mad about the Blunt situation. And I had to tell somebody, like, man, you know, Blunt's 16. So as a parent, like, logically, and if you're
making decisions, yeah.
If you're recruiting that kid, man, that parent got to feel, like, really, really good about you. Like, they got to feel like you got all the structure and everything necessary to take their kid and take care of their kid. You know what right. I'm saying? You know, that's a part of recruiting. You know what I'm saying? Understanding what is it going to take to close that kid and what type of infrastructure the parents need to see for you to get that kid on campus and the parents to feel like, okay, I see the infrastructure that you're going to provide my son, you know. And sometimes I don't think people understand that. You know, it's a lot that go into recruiting. You know, I did a podcast with Papa DeLoach, and we talked about things, and he said he cared more about the kids that the coaches was bringing in the class with his kid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that mattered to him a little bit more than the coaches that was going to be at the program. That mattered a little bit. Like, he wanted to make sure his kid was going to be around other good kids. So he cared about the parents. What kind of parents right. was the other kids? Did the other kids have, you know what I'm saying? Right. So that's something you probably wouldn't normally even think about. Like, nope. I mean, as a fan, you wouldn't think about that.
Right. Right. That plays a part in recruiting. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, a lot of times I'm just telling people, like, man, you brought in a good class. Is it going to be a Georgia Bama class? No, man, I don't think you're ever going to reach that type of level with the way the staff is currently put together. You're going to reach a top three, top five class like that with the way the staff is currently put together. It's going to take a lot more things. You know what I'm saying? You might need to put together another couple 12-win seasons and 13-win seasons together and make a couple moves on the staff. You know, the good recruiters just recruit really, really well, man. I've said that several times. Like, you know, people making excuses now for, like, Baran and Shannon and Alex Atkins and these people and stuff. And I ain't saying they bad recruiters, but, you know, sometimes the proof be in the pudding. Like, you hired Patrick Surtain. How long he been coaching college football? I mean, the guys he put in the draft. You know, he come in.
I mean, and look what he did. Look what he did in his first year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of times it's just, man, when you got a dynamic recruiters, you know it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it's not hard to figure out. You know what I'm saying? So people have to just kind of relax a little bit. Like, you know, I had somebody tell me in the summertime, you know, FSU gonna get this thing together the way I'm talking to my people. We're going to sign a number one class this year. And I'm like, man, that's not happening. Like, where are you getting that from? You know what I'm saying? This is somebody that's tied in with FSU. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really believe that. You know, I'm like, bro, come on. You know, so it's just being realistic, man. It's just being realistic.
I'm going to give them a little bit of hope, right? And I'm going to say this. And again, Mike is still learning. You know what I mean? One of the things about that we've seen with Mike is he's learning on the job. All the mistakes that he made first year, he tried to eliminate his second year. All the mistakes he made his second year, he eliminated his third year. And the same thing when it comes to recruiting. I mm-hmm. think Mike started out, 20, 21, 22, which we thought was never we thought shouldn't be possible at Florida State. But that's where he started, though. He had zero connections. He had zero, the back, the off the field hadn't been fixed. He then came in and was like, all right, He improved, got a little bit better, got like 15, 16.
Right.
Okay. Still not where Florida State's supposed to be at, but you can kind of see that he's building, they're fixing the the behind the scenes, and he's getting some connections. Now, this season, you are actually in battles with Georgia and with Miami and other good recruiters. I don't know if he knew how to handle those situations well this season.
Yeah, but we said that last year. But
I do believe, say it again.
I said, well, we said that last year, and we said it right. With the Hunter thing, like we have a
what will it, yeah, but enough. Hunter was different. I'm not gonna include Hunter in that because Hunter was a weird situation. But that whole class,
it wasn't just Hunter. It was the whole class.
Yeah.
So it's like, so there is a pattern here. You know what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't mean that you got a bad coach. That don't mean you got a bad coach.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? Like that don't mean you got a bad coach.
But I guess I believe that. And again, I agree with you when I say I think their ceiling is probably 8-12, right? I don't believe they're going to ever be as long as this staff is constructed the way it is, I don't believe they'll ever get past that. But what I am saying is I do believe Mike may be able to keep his top recruit from getting stolen from him every year. And that right there is a pattern that I do believe has to change. And I think he will figure out a better way. Like, I don't think he's going into next year saying, I don't know who my top recruit is. I don't know who the number one player is that I got to get on my board. I just don't believe next year he loses that guy, because I believe that he is learning every time he bumps his head. I do believe he's not going to hit his head upon. And again, he's done it 3 years in a row. I ain't going to lie. So it don't seem like he's learning that fast enough. But I also think there were some other challenges that went against him. So in my opinion, I do believe that he will get a little better at it. Do I think they're going to finish number one recruiting class? I think that's crazy. But I do believe he can, you know, he can keep consistently maybe getting in there and not losing that number one guy. I think that's what hurts, when that's what the fans are kind of upset about, the ones who are upset. They're upset at every single year. Travis Hunter, gone. I forgot what it was last year.
The Falk kid. They got the Falk kid.
Right.
Najee Kelly,
gone. Yeah. You had a whole receiver group. You lost every last one of your receivers last year. You know what I mean? You lost. I remember that. Yeah, they lost every last one of their receivers last year. That can't happen. You know what I mean? Then you got this year, and you got KJ Bolden locked up. Everything is on the table, and you lose them again. Like, at that, that's what has to stop, in my opinion. I think where they're at in recruiting-wise and what they do in the portal, Florida State's going to be fine when it comes in the next season. I believe Florida State will be right at 10 wins, maybe a little bit more next, you know what I mean, with some games. I do believe they're going to get one of these quarterbacks, either DJ or Cam Ward. So I think they're going to be fine, but they have to figure out a way to stop with these big losses. It's one thing to lose a recruit, right? Guy chooses between somebody else. But it's another thing to keep having these big losses in recruiting. I think it's a very negative sign. And I think it's allowing them to get played a little bit by these kids. And that's a real problem, in my opinion.
Well, they are getting played. You know, it's crazy, man. When you talk about recruiting in South Florida, you know, these kids, these parents and the handlers in South Florida, I think they understand the game a lot better than some of our coaches do, because they don't know. Like, you know, I mean, I go back to the Wesley Bissant recruitment, where they didn't even have an idea of what was needed to secure that recruitment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, so, and I remember telling somebody that, like, I don't think they're getting Wesley Bissant. They were like, no, they just took pictures yesterday. I'm like, okay, that's congratulations.
That's the part that I think gotta stop, man. We I don't even want to say as a beat, but as a group who covers Florida State, we gotta stop, man, with the pictures and with all these, I don't want to say just superficial things that really don't have nothing to do with recruiting. Yeah. Oh, he was on our sideline for bowl practices. Man, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, if you telling me I come on campus and it'll cost me you're going to give me $10,000, I'm going to come and stand wherever you want me to stand for $10,000. Yeah, and I'm going to go about my business and do what I planned on doing, you know, what I planned on doing 3 weeks ago before you invited me here.
Yeah.
That's the problem that I have with some of the people and some of the stuff that's happening in the family. Like, we got to quit getting fooled by stuff, kids who are never coming. If he made his decision up 3 weeks ago, then again, shame on that kid for not telling Florida State that you know what I mean, he wasn't coming here. But also, hey, Florida State needs to understand that he's not coming here. You know what I mean? Like, there is some accountability on Florida State's part where they got to understand, hey, this dude ain't coming.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, something about it, though, somebody in the space said that was close to the kid said they didn't make a decision until that morning. The kid said, oh, I knew 3 weeks ago. Like, nobody knows what's true, because the kid could have been saying that because he wanted Georgia fans to feel like I always wanted to be here.
True.
Like, nobody knows. Like, true. Nobody knows, like, how these recruitments what these kids really think or how they really feel until they put pen to paper. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you don't even hear stories about these recruitments until these guys are like 6 years into the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even get the real story until they like in the NFL away from all of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I take everything that's said. I take everything that's said in recruitment, even on videotapes and whatever the staff told the beat reporter and everything. I take all of it with a grain of salt. Because
the amount that these kids want, NIL, all of it.
Like all of this stuff, it gets out of control because we want transparency in something that's done in dark rooms. And, and that's just, it's unfair to the kids, to me. It's unfair to the coaching staff, but at the same time, you know, like somebody told me that day, well, Sam, this ain't on Mike. And I told somebody, I said, man, I get that there. We want to put this protective shield around the head coach because we love him so much. He's a nice guy. He gives these great speeches, and he's an innovative offensive mind. But in the past, when things go wrong with a football program, we normally, in normal situations, we blame the head coach for when things go wrong, right? You know, like if a guy don't develop, we say, that coaching staff or this head coach didn't do a good job developing that kid or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if you can get that knack of closing on big dogs and recruiting. I don't know if you can learn. I think that's something you have to kind of have develop that skill as you come up through the ranks. I don't know if you're going to get that. I don't know if you're going to get that dogged mentality of recruiting as a head coach on the job. I don't know if you can train for that because you're now further away from recruiting face-to-face, right? Because your assistant's doing more of that stuff for you now. So now you're a little less tapped in with that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
you also got to deal with parents a whole lot more now, or whoever. I heard somebody break down the NIL and they said, you know, you having to deal with just whoever they put in charge of handling their money. So now you got to deal with aunties and uncles and neighbors and friends and you know, baby daddies and baby mamas and just whoever was in charge of handling the money. So now you got to deal with this person's agenda. You know what I mean? Or what they want. And that's a whole nother added element.
But that's the difference. Have. That's the difference when you're recruiting at a Memphis.
Exactly.
When you're recruiting at an FSU or Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, because at Memphis, the kid wants an opportunity to play football. Like that kid that you're recruiting, he wants an opportunity to play football. This kid knows he's great at football. You got to sell him on the idea that you can develop him, right? He's gonna have a great 4-year, 3-year experience, get developed. And you're going to put them on the right track to go to the NFL. Then now you got to turn back around. You got to sell the parent on, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to keep him out of trouble. I'm going to make sure I guide him, make sure I don't allow him to do anything stupid. You know, I'm going to be like the second father figure thing. So you got to sell. You're having to put yourself on display for these parents, and you're doing this for a lot of recruits and a lot of parents. That's a little different than when you were at Memphis or USF because – everybody there just want an opportunity to get a scholarship and come play a little football for a couple of years. They don't know if they're going to the NFL. They might think it. They might want to. But it's just different. It's a different level of what you're trying to get. You know what I'm saying? So I think people just kind of – you have to take steps back from recruiting and say, man, you know, what is the program doing? What is the program like? And I remember last couple of years we did this podcast on the recruiting class, and I told you, and I said on this podcast, I didn't like none of those recruiting classes. I didn't think none of those guys was that good. And most of them in the portal, and most of them can't play. You know, hitting on 3 high school kids per class, it's not a good ratio. But I think in this class, they're going to hit on more than 3. I think they got the opportunity to hit on 10, 7 to 10. If you hit on 7 to 10 per class at this level of recruiting, then that mean you're going to have, in 2 or 3 years, you should have a team full of at least 25, 24 NFL players. You know what I'm saying? That's where you want to be at, right? So I was never the person on here saying, oh, well, you can just portal. You can do it with portal. You don't need high school recruiting. And Mike don't care about high school recruiting. He clearly cares about high school recruiting. Clearly. He cares about high school recruiting. This is clear. So, you know, people just have to kind of, you know, just be consistent. You know, be consistent with what you're thinking and how you feel about the program, because at the end of the day, it's moving upward. But I do think it's just a cap recruiting-wise with the staff that you got. And people keep talking about NIL And my biggest thing with that is like, we talking out of both sides of our mouths. You know, one minute we saying we got a competitive NIL. We got one of the best NILs in the country. We got people writing articles about how great the NIL is. Then the next minute we talking about, oh, everybody's resetting the market. Wait, is everybody resetting the market? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we kind of just got to figure some of this stuff out, man, you know. But at the end of the day, it's a good class. I think the next class, what you need to see going forward is maybe you put more of your resources in offensive tackles, offensive linemen, D linemen. I mean, if you come with a heavy class of D linemen, O linemen that's in the blue chip ratio wise, and maybe you take a step back with the skill guys, maybe not as good a skill guy wise recruiting next year, I'll be fine with that. You know what I'm saying?
100%. That's what I was going to say. Two things. One, highlight Michael's comment where he talked about will people still be upset that the four stars that were signed were still five stars? 444.
I don't know.
It's a little bit out there. It's a little bit out there. But they were four stars. They were five stars before signing with FSU. And I think that's a really good point because perception a little bit is reality, right? Like if you look at that and you say, all right, Cam was a five star at one point, Landon was a five star, Luke was a five star. At least Charles Lester definitely was a five star at one point. So if you look and you say, all right, well, Florida State signed four or five stars and then they lost KJ, it don't feel the same. You know what I mean? Like it feels a little different. And right. I think that's where the perception kind of messes with our head. Because I, like you said, Florida State signed a good class. Like they're going, like you said, they're gonna probably hit on about 10 of them. Yeah, so if you hit those 7 to 10 guys, that's 7 to 10 impact players that you got. All right, well, good. But at this point, it feels a little bit like some of them Jimbo classes where you got them all in like two areas, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, and DB. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. But what you going to do with linebackers? What you going to do with these trenches? And that's where I think Florida State has to really, really, really buckle down and get into the trench recruiting. Me and Sam talked about it, and I may have mentioned on Twitter or on X. At this point, Florida State is in a position where Miami is out recruiting them. But it's not just that they're out recruiting them. They're out recruiting them in the area that matters the most, and that's in the trenches. So there will become a time where even though we don't believe Mario can coach him up, Sam said something to me earlier that made a lot of sense. It doesn't matter if he can coach him up. He's keeping you from getting him. And so at this point, I think he's going to hit his head on 8 wins again because I just think that's who Mario is as a coach, right? He's going to hit it on 8 or 9 wins. He's going to lose some games. He ain't got no business. That's who he is. I don't think he's a very good coach. Right. But it won't matter in the grand scheme of things if he is kept blunt from you because that's where you could have actually used him to get to 11 wins. You know what I mean? He might have impacted the game where it would have got you from 10 wins to 11. They're not doing nothing but taking him from 7 wins to 8.
Right.
And that's where, and so him keeping them from them is really hurting them. So they have to do a much better job of hitting in the trenches, hitting in or finding a way to get these guys in the portal. And I'm be honest with you, I don't know if he's done a good job of it in the past. It's difficult as hell to tell me that Mike every single year is going to find another Fisk and another Jermaine Johnson and another Jared Verse. And now this, you got MJJ, cool. But now, you know what I mean? But every year you're going to have to try to find and hit on your. In your trenches is really difficult to say that he's going to have to do that every single year because he's not recruiting them. And the same thing, we're seeing it more so on the offensive line because the offensive line is really taking some hits right now where they haven't recruited that well. So now you're trying to piecemeal with parts basically that other teams didn't really want. You don't find your left tackles and your right tackles in the portal. Not really, not often, or at least not historically. Those guys are usually developed out of high school. So now you are saying, "I for another year has gone by where we didn't hit in the trenches."
Right.
Okay. Well, Miami is hitting in the trenches. That game is going to become tougher and tougher and tougher, and you're going to keep needing your quarterback to have world class performances in order to beat them because you're not hitting in the trenches. And at some point, that it's going to even itself out, regardless of whether or not we think Mario is a good coach, and they really have to work on that. And I'm not sure if we'll see what happens. I ain't gonna say I'm not sure if they will. I'm interested in seeing what they can do because at this present moment, they don't look good at the ability to recruit the trenches right now. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's going on with it. But well, I do know actually. I'm just not gonna say it. Right. I think we've said it enough. You know what I mean?
I think with
Armello is it though.
Yeah, but I mean, I think when you talk about Miami and what they did, what they've done the last 2 years, I think I looked it up yesterday. I think they basically brought in about 29 blue chip players between this class and last year's class.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does basically is it like substantially like raises your floor, right?
Yep.
So your floor is kind of, their floor is kind of raised to a point. Like if he get subpar quarterback play, like just don't turn the football over quarterback play. I ain't talking about nothing great. Just don't turn
Mertz.
The football
he
over.
Gets Graham Mertz.
Yeah, if he get Graham Mertz quarterback play, that's 10 wins. Like that's like realistically, that's 10 wins, right? Because you're not gonna turn the football over. And my offensive line is great. My defensive line is gonna be great. His linebackers was pretty good this year. They got to replace Cam Kitchens, but they did bring in some pretty good secondary pieces. So we'll see. But I mean, at the end of the day, Miami and Florida, in our minds, in our perspective, is they're down. Like they're down. We're up. They're down. Mm-hmm. We're up. So when they're down and we're up, you kind of want to put the gas pedal down and kind of get to
you got to step on the neck.
Top six classes, you know, get the big time blue chip players out of Miami and Tampa. Tampa's a little hard for Florida State. It's always been a hard area for Florida State. But, you know, across the most of the state, you want to kind of get the big time players. So it's not crazy. I mean, you know, I do think they got to do better in the trenches. That's the main area, really. That the trenches really got to get better. And even with the quarterback situation, I remember when they brought Duffy in here, and we said we liked it, Duffy. But then as soon as Duffy got on campus, I told y'all, like, man, they don't like Duffy no more. And that was like 2 weeks while he was on campus. So,
yeah,
you know, and I ain't saying Luke Crumholt going to be – like, people keep comparing him to he's as close as Jameis Winston. Well, I can tell you right now, he ain't going to be Jameis Winston. So that might take 2 years.
Wait a minute.
But they're talking about with his recruitment. Like, he's one of the first blue-chip quarterbacks we brought in since Jameis Winston. Somebody like, yeah, he brought it with Jameis. And I'm like, well, no. That might take 2 years of development. Like, I don't know if that's going to be a – him and Brock Glenn compete for the starting quarterback job next year. If that happens,
listen,
I don't know.
From everybody you know we've talked to said Jameis could have started that year. EJ was a senior and he was decent, but everybody I talked to said Jameis was kicking EJ ass in practice. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he ain't Jameis. Like, I don't want anybody to ever get that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't get Jameis. I do think he's going to be decent.
He's a
developmental. And I do think he'll be good.
It's hard for me to
look at it and say that, you know, this kid here is going to be Jameis. Let's pump our brakes just a little bit on that one. Listen, what I will say is Florida State is in a good spot. That's the matter of fact. Let me go back. Miami, Florida never took advantage when Florida State was down. We do not want to get into that same cycle of, all right, Miami down right now.
Yeah.
Or somewhat down. Florida is way down. You know what I mean? Florida is really down right now. What you do not want is you've been spinning in place, hitting your head and bumping your head in the ceiling. You know what I mean? And hit your head on the ceiling while Miami, I don't know about Florida, but while Miami is gaining ground. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is the time where you got to build up so that you understand, all right, they gone.
Yeah.
They so far in our rearview mirror, it don't matter.
Right.
Alabama don't care what Auburn's doing. Because Alabama is so far ahead of Auburn. Like, yeah, they're gonna play them tough every single year. It's gonna be a dog fight. It is what it is.
Right.
But they don't care what Auburn's doing because it don't, like, you see where the two classes end up at. You know what I mean? Like, Alabama gonna end up where they're gonna end up at, regardless, because they've built that foothold. That's what you want to happen, and that's what you want Florida State to be doing to Florida and to Miami right now. And at this point, they're just not. And I think that has a lot to do with connections. You know, we talked about Mike really just not having connections to the state, not having connections to the South.
What's crazy is that people got mad, like when they first hired Mike, and we was like, you know, it's going to take him some time to be a decent recruiter in the state.
Yeah.
You know, people's like, oh, no, that ain't true. He's way more organized and da 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 da. And it's like, it's like you can't ever have an honest conversation about none of this stuff because people get so defensive about this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
It's why the Miami kids keep
playing them.
I don't want to say hustling. Yeah, I was gonna say hustling. Like, yeah, Miami kids are playing Mike right now, and it's because of the lack of it's because of lack of connections. Like they should be able to, they should have enough connections and understand that you're just not getting some of these kids. And the fact that you're getting on here and they're losing money to these kids, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're losing money out of this situation, out of a collective that don't really have a lot of money. Again, we talk about it, but you know what I mean?
I had a homeboy I talked to about a month ago when everybody kept starting this Jeremiah Eyeballs things, right? With the Jeremiah Eyeballs, they were doing Jeremiah popcorn, get your popcorn ready stuff with Jeremiah Smith. And he told me something that made a lot of sense. He said, Sam, Jeremiah, one of the best wide receivers in the country, one of the best wide receiver prospects that's came out since Doria Green Beckham, right? That went to Mizzou.
Yeah.
He was like, if he's that great and his recruitment is so open, why isn't Alabama and Georgia recruiting him? Because don't they normally come down here and get five-star wide receivers all the time? Like with Ohio State? So normally it's Ohio State, Miami. I mean, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia that come down and Miami and grab five-star wide receivers and stuff. So you're like, why are they not on that recruitment like that? I was like, I don't know. He was like, maybe they feel like they'll be wasting their time.
And he told me that
battle the whole time was between Miami and Ohio State. And the only reason it was Miami was because Mario really is selling that make the crib great thing. Like, it's all about the crib. Like, he take the kids, that's the people that's playing on the football team, he make them go back to the high school football games and watch high school football games with them. Mm-hmm. Like, he's putting his players back in the community. Like, it's a big thing. Like, he got a whole movement down there. So that was a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So, did you waste your time with Jeremiah Smith? I don't think you wasted your time, but because, I mean, you do have to recruit these kids because you never know. You might better get them in the portal in two or three years. But I do think you're wasting money, though.
That's what I mean.
I do think you're wasting money in some of those situations. Like the Blunt situation, I think you wasted some money there.
1,000% was never coming here.
Yeah.
Never coming here. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. He was never coming here. He wasn't. If you got yourself holding with the eyeball emojis and all, he was never coming in. It was never a choice. It was a gear. And I saw Mike put in the chat, high school recruiting is a leverage game now. Also, kids can commit to one school for negotiating leverage with no intention on signing with the school they commit to. I feel like that happened. New. Again, maybe it's because Florida State is
it was nothing new. That's not new.
But I feel like it happens to Florida State a lot more than it happens to these other schools.
Well, that's because they don't have the people that, I never forget this, man. I never forget talking to Jeremy Pruitt about this. This is like 2013, going into the 2013 season. Pruitt's up there shooting shit, just talking shit. And Pruitt said, son, that made a lot of sense about recruiting, because I was asking him about recruiting certain players and stuff. And he said, before I even talk to a kid, I find out everything about this kid with the community. So I go talk to, like, the little league coaches. I go talk to the janitors. I go talk to – he's, like, talking to all the people before he even get to go talk to the kid and stuff. Because he said the main thing you have to understand about recruiting is you got to understand who controls the recruitment.
Very important.
So he was like
– so important.
So he said once you find out who controls the recruitment, that's who you recruit. Because if you get that person, then that person's going to bring the kid to you. And I know he said, which is crazy, because he said Trent Richardson, it was a judge that was in charge of Trent Richardson's recruitment, which was like wild to me. I didn't get into the whole story, but it's a full story there about Trent Richardson and his judge and how that whole situation played out for them and how he got to Alabama. But he was just saying you have to find that out. And sometimes if you can't figure that out, you going in there blind. It's like you going in there with your money hanging out and, you know what I'm saying? Now these kids playing you. And I think sometimes they just get played because they and people on that staff should know better. Like, Randy Shannon and Odell, them should know better. They've been doing this long enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been doing this long enough. They should know better. You know what I'm saying?
Have they been doing it too long? You think the game don't pass them by?
I think staff is only going to recruit as hard as the coaching, as hard as the head coach makes him recruit. You know what I'm saying? Like, the head coach got it. The head coach kind of set the tone for recruiting, in my opinion. What? It's the truth.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, that's the truth.
I don't even know how to respond. All right, so your response is Nah, I ain't even going. I ain't even
because right. Well, I guess my thing is if the coach
Odell Fisher asleep.
Like Mario got rid of coaches off his staff because he felt like they weren't recruiting hard enough. You know what I'm saying? So like that's a big deal for him. So that's how I feel. I mean, it's only valued because like you got some like Nick Saban make people sit in the conference room and make all their phone calls. They can't leave the office until all their phone calls done.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you. I like I said, I'll say this. I think there's people on this staff who are not hitting at nearly a high enough rate to where we should start questioning whether or not they are worth their salary. You know what I mean? I guess I'll say that because recruiting is a part of, you know what I mean? Recruiting is a part of the job. Somebody said it's safe to say Deion's getting a lot of guys because kids' parents. Deion signed 5 people. Deion ain't recruiting.
Well, he's not recruiting in high school.
Not high school at all. Deion has given up on high school, and that's evident by
the
fact
that if he don't get a kid that he thinking coming there and play out of high school, he don't even want the kid.
He don't want him. And that's just like he's recruiting the guys who he feel like can play and impact him tomorrow. Yeah. He ain't signing nobody who down the road. He don't care nothing about what's happening next week. Yeah. All them 3 stars and 2 stars who may have. I'm sure he could have filled up 23 guys if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
Deion is not recruiting them kids. And so let me, you know what I mean? So no, I don't believe that Deion's getting guys, but I think it's a, when you look at the fact that our trenches has not got just the D-line, we'll deal with the D-line
and O-line specifically
because that's what we're talking about.
O-line
did all right last year, so I'm going to give it a little bit of pass. Okay. What I will say, but specifically this class and no D-line and all your D-line commits, you know, flipping to go somewhere else,
right.
I'm going to say Odell has not held up his end of the
But Odell's not going anywhere.
I understand. He's not going anywhere because he ain't been nowhere in the last whatever it is.
But I do think what they need to do is beef up the back rooms. They need to beef up on more support staff people in the back room to help with all of this stuff.
That's what I was gonna say. If he's not going nowhere, then find him somebody who I'm basically recruiting as proxy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like find me a proxy recruiter who can go in there and do the things that Odell is not doing.
Because I think Drew told me that you know, Pat got a guy that's pretty, you know, with him, and Dugan's got a guy that's with him. They're pretty motivated dudes that's recruiting with them, you know, that helps them out with their boards and stuff. So maybe they need to just beef up the behind the scenes for Odell. Now Papuchis,
I think you could
make a change there, man. I mean, let's be serious, man.
Yeah,
you can make a change with Papuchis. Like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Now,
yeah.
The reason why I think Randy not going nowhere, to be honest with y'all, and I'll just be honest. Like, I think the thing with Randy is, I know they told me after the Louisville game when it was 0-4, they was like Randy was the one that kind of told them where to put the players at on defense. Like, hey, you need to play this guy here, you need to play that guy there. And that kind of helped kind of turn the defense around. So I think they value.
I'm fine with that thing.
Yeah, they value Randy's input.
Helping if they doing this by committee on the defense.
Yeah.
The defense was the shining spot of the if he's helping out on defense, Randy Shannon and Fuller working in tandem to put this defense together,
mm-hmm.
by all means, continue on. Because I have zero complaints about the defense and what they do when they get on the field. You know what I mean? And that's been like that for a good little minute now. So I'm going to say keep it rocking. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change a thing on that one. But they do have to figure out how to bring in better D-line recruits and some of these 5-star and high 4-star kids, man. Because at this point, again, I keep saying it. You cannot continue to believe you're going to hit every single year in that portal. Like, I know we've lived on it. It's worked to us to our advantage. We went in there and grabbed Fisk, and Fisk has been nothing but dominant. He's going to, you know what I mean, probably go in the second round, maybe third, or whatever you're talking about. You know what I mean? So he's improved. He's gotten what he wanted out of it, and we got what we see. But, you know, same thing for Jared Verse. Jared Verse has improved it. He went to, you know what I mean, to a day one pick. Great. Just not sure. Jermaine Johnson did the same thing. Boy, but you asking a lot for these guys every single year to go find that guy that you need, not want, but you need to come in and fill in because you don't have anybody. I think that's a tough ask for anybody. And And if they don't fix it and fix it soon, then you're just pushing yourself further and further down. You know what I mean? It's further down the road.
But
you didn't get it last year. You didn't get it the year before. And yeah. You didn't get it this year. So what you say? All right, so next year is for 2 years from now. You get what I mean? Like, this was supposed to be the class that put you in the championship with the trench level. That put you in the level to be able to compete. Here's the thing. We're not competing against the ACC teams. We should beat those guys. You should win the ACC again next year.
Right.
You're talking about when you get in the playoffs and you got to play a Bama or a Michigan or Ohio State or Georgia. We don't have the trenches. Even if Jordan Travis would have been healthy, I would have loved to have seen it happen. But we would have, I believe, that it would not have gone well against Georgia's and Alabama and or Michigan's defensive front that they would have put up against our offensive line. I think that would have been a very long day, and we would have needed Jordan Travis to play ridiculously special in order to compete. Mm-hmm. And because, again, 2 years ago, we haven't recruited for this one. So now we're asking guys, and there's zero depth. Like, think about it. Look at this game here we playing against Georgia. Georgia probably will have some guys declare, but even if they rolled out with all of their backups, they'd probably still blow us up. Because all of their backups are still five-star guys and guys who they've, you know, recruited and built over time.
Right.
Florida State is going out there with our second team, and we don't have a soul who we think can compete with those dudes.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be problematic because...
That's going to be problematic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because
injuries.
Yeah, and Kirby going to want to put a number on Mike. I heard they don't like each other too much. So,
Then we getting blowed up.
Yeah, I mean, that's problematic. But I mean, I think at the end of the day,
this is not me being negative or Sam being negative. Jeff Cameron on the podcast said we was getting blowed out a few days ago. Y'all got to believe me. We getting blowed out, guys. I'm just, you know what I mean? Yeah,
but I
I'm
mean,
just letting you know what it is.
But the thing about when you recruit at a level, it's like if you think about yourself, like, are you Oklahoma State? Because Oklahoma State recruits, you know, in the 40s and the 50s and stuff, and they develop their guys and they, you know, every 3 years. Well, you know,
I was going to say, it's why they're good every 3 years.
Well, I take that back. Every 2 years, because Oklahoma State do a really good job. Like, they'll put a nice little 9-win, 10-win season together, like, on, you know, real quick.
Yeah, beat Oklahoma.
But they
yeah.
can't really push to that national level of competing for, you know, a national championship, because when you recruit where they recruit at, your floor is lower, right? So you can get upset by BYU. I mean, you can get upset by some team that you probably wouldn't think you would lose against. You know what I'm saying? Because your flow's so low. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, man, I think people really shouldn't complain. But I will say this. Like, next year, if your D-line recruitment and your O-line recruitment is looking the same way it looked this year in the past couple of years, yeah, I think people have a right to be upset and feel away. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think something else people need to understand, man, like, Mike, consistency is something that he values. Like, he values having the same people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not Nick Saban that gets people out the building that's not doing what he, you know, that's not fulfilling every obligation or every, you know, everything that he wants them to do. You know, Nick Saban pay you a lot of money to coach there, and he expects you to do everything that he tell you to do. Like, Mike wants consistency. He wants guys that's going to come in there that you can see the same people every day you come in that building. He got the same people there. He wanted it to be the same people there. He want to keep those people there. Matter of fact, when a coach leaves, he promotes from within. He don't go hire somebody from outside of the building. He promotes from within the building. He values consistency.
I have no problem when it comes to the on field. You know what right. I mean? And it, for his consistency, we've been arguing for coaches to change since year one.
Right.
And they haven't. You know what I mean? He's kept it together because he believed in his staff. And again, kudos to him. You know what I mean? It worked out. You 13-0. You can't complain. You know what I mean? They
won 19 straight. You can't really be mad about
zero.
That.
You get, like, he was right. You know what I mean? He was right in keeping his guys together from a coaching standpoint. The only problem is we got to figure, like, I'm not sure I'm going to say that I believe that he believes that's fine. Whatever we hit on in recruiting, we hit on. Cool.
Well, I think he's very confident.
Because I can find it in the portal. I think I can find a replacement in the portal. And I think that's a dangerous game to play in.
I think he's very confident in the idea that he can, whatever he get, he can coach it up. Right.
And I agree with that as well.
Hey, I tried to get this guy. I couldn't get him. That's fine. I get the next guy. you know, I just get the next guy or I respond. Like he always said that we're going to respond. We're going to respond.
It's what the team is built on.
Right. I think that with certain coaches, like, you know, like a Mario or Kirby, like they live by that shit. Like they die by it. Like, you know, like I want the best players.
It means
something different to them. Like I can't allow, like, you know, they say Kirby was pissed last year that Caleb Downs went to Alabama. Like that stuck in his craw a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. that bothered him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he wasn't smiling on the podium about that, saying you know, it's just
it happens.
It's just nah, man. He not like that. He like nah. We need to work even harder to get these kids. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna do even more to get the kids that I want to get. So it never made sense that KJ Bolden was coming to Florida State under that scope. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shouts out to KJ Bolden. I seen him, met him in Orlando, seemed like a nice kid, you know. So I imagine he'll do great things. Maybe you get him in the portal in 2 years if his career not working out the way it needs to in Georgia. But for right now, he's going to Georgia and they'll figure out can he play or not.
I guess we can touch on the portal a little bit, man, because I'm the fact that every shout out to Marvin Jones Jr., you know, welcome. The fact that we recruited him 2 years ago, he turned us down, goes to Georgia, and then comes here 2 years later is crazy to me. You know what I mean? Like, but this is what's happening all over. Like, all right, cool. I got here. I ain't like it. I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, I don't want to say you don't have to worry about recruit because you do, but it almost feels like, hey, man, you don't get him this year, you'll get him next. I mean? Like, we'll get him this year. He'll be available next year. Somebody, again, half of these kids who we saw this year, who we didn't get, they'll be available next year. And they'll be like, all right, well, shoot, Florida State was my second option anyway. I just come to Florida State. And that, as a coach, has to be crazy. I mean, you look at what's happening with Farmer right now. The Rodney Hill situation, I don't think we covered that. It's a whole lot of misinformation going on, and I don't know what, like, it's Rodney Hill was like, y'all must be crazy if y'all think I asked for more than Trey Benson. But that was the report. Like, we all sat online and they was like, yo, Rodney Hill asked for more than Trey Benson. And I'm sitting there and I called Sam, I'm like, these fools crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Patrick Payton asked for more than Jared Verse.
Yeah.
How? You know what I mean? Like, how did he do? You know what I mean? And so you start listening to the man, like, college football is in a dark place right now when it comes to just misinformation, what these kids want. The funny thing, these are kids. They don't know how to navigate it. So they're doing basically what they think is best.
I mean,
I'm going to throw myself in the portal.
Yeah, the parents navigate this stuff. Most times than not, it's
trying
to navigate this stuff. And man, the Marvin Jones Jr. recruitment was one of those things where if he didn't go to Florida State, he was going to Georgia. If he didn't go to Georgia, he would have went to Oklahoma before he went to Georgia. But Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma, remember?
Right.
Riley left Oklahoma, and he went to USC, and the mama was mad. The mama controlled that recruitment. That's a fact.
Find out who's controlling the recruitment.
Yeah, that was a fact.
You recruit.
Now, he go to Georgia for 2 years, you know, I ain't get into all that stuff. I hope he work out at FSU. I really do. I'm not saying that being funny, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, FSU got room for that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things, man.
Hold on, Sam. Master say, I want you to respond to this. Master, KJ went to Georgia because NIL opened up after Riley flipped.
I don't think Georgia got a salary cap limit. I think they like the Yankees.
That's why I wanted you to respond.
Yeah, like I saw that people putting this narrative out there where Raiola money opened up. Like, Georgia could have got Raiola and got KJ. Like, it's Georgia. It's like Bama. Like, they don't have a salary cap. We're the one talking about competitive offers and all this other stuff. These people ain't talking like that. Texas ain't talking like that, man.
Yeah, I'm agree with Sam on this one, man. It's hard for me to believe that. Oh, they was able to get Bolden because they found some extra money because Raiola flipped.
And
he made this decision 3 weeks ago, so the money wasn't there at the time Raiola flipping. So
yeah, and something I did hear, and man, if somebody in the chat noticed, know it, and maybe I'm wrong, I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard Georgia and Bama, like, they pretty transparent with the players on what everybody getting paid there. And they put a pretty good cap. You know what I'm saying? Now, I heard they do got some incentive-based stuff there. Like, you know, if you made All-American, or, you know, of course, if you're a Heisman contender or whatever, right, whatever, it's other ways to get more money on top of what you're getting. But, like, from what I heard, Texas, Bama, Georgia, like, they pretty upfront with what everybody making. It's not this hidden thing out there. So that's why they don't discuss it. Like, the kids don't discuss it. So when this whole thing came out with Pat Payton and whoever, and they saying the kids on FSU don't know how much the other kid making, to me, that's a mistake. They should just come out and say what it is. Like, tell the kids, hey, I'm paying this guy for that. Like, and I told somebody else this. I would have never paid Trey Benson. If they paid, I don't know what they paid Trey Benson. But if it was $300,000, I would have never paid that. Not in a million years, right? I wouldn't have paid him $100,000, okay? This is me. But I don't value the running backs like that. I think you can get a dime a dozen of them. So, you know.
I think every running back that came in the game.
Unless it's good. Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying every running back that played for Florida State this season all look like they could start, and I think they may have all started this season.
Yeah, they all look.
So why would you pay Trey Benson $300,000? if you know what I mean? If you know what I mean, we look up and Kaziah Holmes starting one game, and then you got CJ starting another game, then you got Toa Philly starting another game, then Trey Benson starting this game. Well, at this point, you don't have a starting running back. You know what I mean? Yeah. So then, why are we paying a starting running back money if we not going anyway?
I mean,
that's crazy. Cam or DJ, we can get that one after this.
Huh? Do what?
Do we want Cam or DJU? That I say you can. Oh, after you finish your
I think it's gonna be DJU for some reason. I just think it's gonna be DJU. I think whoever you get is gonna be able to lead you to 9 wins. Personally, 9 wins I think will be kind of where you'll be kind of projected at next year. You catch the right breaks like you did this year, I think you could probably hit 10. But I think it's gonna be DJU. Both of those quarterbacks, though, like the more I deep dive into them, like, and people talking to people about it, I don't know, man. Like, Cam turns the ball over a lot, takes a lot of sacks. That's kind of scary. DJU is gun shy as hell, so I don't know how that's gonna look. So, you know.
It's funny because, like, I'm with you. My original thought was Cam, right, because of the upside. I think he has tremendous upside. He has escapability. He's going to run, you know, I think he looks a lot more like what we've seen with Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
But 14 fumbles is stupid numbers. You know what I mean? Like, that's a issue. You know what I mean? Like, 14 fumbles is an issue. Like, you got 6, I might be like, all right. You know what I mean? It happens. Trevor Lawrence got a lot of fumbles. But 14? That's a high number to be, you know what I mean? So, again, maybe they coach him up, they figure out what his issue is, and they got ball security. It's definitely, Florida State definitely has a better coaching staff than Washington State. So, all right, cool. But 14 is a high number. DJ, yes. I'm not sold on his ability to throw. Again, he got his job taken from a quarterback who's not very good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That speaks a lot to, you know what I mean? You as the kid at the club nick is not very good at Clemson at all.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? At all. And so the idea that you would get your spot taken by this guy is like, dang. You know what I mean? Like, are you very good? So I'm not sure if I necessarily, you know, feel very good. Like you said, 14 with this offensive line, correct. You know what I mean? Unless we're getting some major help in the offensive line, you talking about he gonna get hit. You know what I mean? He's going to take hits. He's going to take hits. He's going to have to escape. So ball security will be very important in the game that I think in I don't think there'll be a lot of blowouts next year. You know what I mean? The team is not going to be nearly as good as it was this year. So now you're saying in a lot of games that would be played in the margins, a fumble will cost you a game. 14 of them go cost you a lot of games.
If you play on the margins, you can't have a guy that's gonna touch double digits in turnovers, right? That gotta be a low number.
Interceptions are fumbles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interceptions are fumbles. You cannot afford to turn the ball over 14 times. That's a large number. I will say this when it comes to Cam and DJ, Florida State better make a decision. Like, if Cam is still dragging his feet and don't know what he's doing, I'm gonna pull the plug because again, I got DJU already here. If I feel like both of these guys are close, I know I may want Cam Ward, But how long do you allow Cam Ward to hold up the rest of your recruiting and the rest of your portal stuff? Because the quarterback is always the first domino to fall. And then we can say, all right, well, then shoot, they got Cam Ward. All right, now I'm a receiver. I may want to come here. Now I'm a defense end. I may want to come here because I feel like Florida State will be good. But I'm not sure how long they can continue to let good talent go to other schools while we're waiting on Cam Ward to make a decision. At this point, man, you don't want to lose out on DJ, who, again, everything he has said says he wants to come to Florida State. But he also understands that he's not going to wait around forever while Florida State is telling him we want this other dude and we're going to wait on him. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, and somebody said that DJU is also is being entertained by Louisville. What you don't want is for him to go over to Louisville, get wild by Louisville, and decide to commit, and then Cam Ward commits to Miami, and you stuck with Tate Rodemaker. That's not what you want. So I'm really hoping that Florida State is playing this properly and that they're doing the right thing because, again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Cam going to do, but I wouldn't let him hold my reporter recruiting in hostage. And I think right now that's what he's doing.
I think he's holding, again,
if you know where you're going, you've seen both schools. You were choosing between Miami and Florida State. At this point, if both people are willing to pay you the money, make the decision. You know what I mean? Like, pull the trigger. Yeah. And if I'm Florida State, I'm not going to allow him to dictate terms. You got a deadline. If I don't hear from you by Sunday, I am pulling the trigger on DJU. Appreciate you. Take your ass to Miami. That's how I feel. That's how I would handle it. I'm not going to be held hostage by a kid who, again, you've seen what we offering. You know what it is. You know what Miami offering. You did a virtual visit with somebody else or whatever it is. And apparently the NFL is also an option. Cool. Yeah. You've had more than enough time to figure out what you want to do. You've gotten your draft numbers back. You know what it is. You know where you're getting drafted at, if not. You also understand what Florida State has to offer. You also understand what Miami is going to offer. Make a decision. And if you're not going to make one, I'll make one for you. I'll make it easy on you. And that's my opinion. They're not getting both. What if they both want FSU and the choice is on Mike? Mike need to make a decision. Like, if they both are waiting on Mike, then Mike need to make a decision. Like, it ain't that simple. Figure out who you like, find the upside, get in the room and do it.
Yeah, I think Mike will make a decision. I think they know who they're going to take, and I think they're going to take who they're going to take, and they're going to announce it when they're going to announce it. You know what I'm saying? I think FSU's in a good place going forward. It's just they got to find a way to start raising the floor in some of these high school recruiting classes. You got to raise your floor up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because and somebody said something to me about you recruit these kids to develop 3 years, 4 years down the road. I'm like, man, nobody thinks like that anymore. These kids got 2 years to be in your two deep. If they're not in your two deep by year two, you don't want them there anymore.
You asking them to leave so you can find somebody else. Yeah.
Right.
We're not getting to the year before you play. That Bobby Bowden era of football is gone.
Yeah, I think Georgia and Alabama just brought in almost 28 players apiece. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're still in the high school ranks, man. Like, you just got to up the levels of what you're doing. That's it, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to put the gas to the floor a little bit.
Yeah. So how are you supposed to know he's not serious about coming to FSU? I agree with half of what's being said. NIL plays a big part of Miami throwing money away. What can you do? I'm not arguing whether or not I'm saying at some point you have to force the hand. Like, if he's trying to get more money out of Miami, cool. Get as much you can get out of Miami. But I know I have DJU. Like, DJ Uiagalelei has already said in every interview he want to come to Florida State. Period. And what Florida State is basically saying, we appreciate that. And we glad you want to come here. But we kind of want to see what Cam's got because we think Cam is a little better than you.
Yeah.
And that's cool, too. But make sure you don't lose on your backup option while you're waiting on your first option. That's what I'm saying. I don't care what the issue is, what the holdup is, who's throwing money where. I'm saying from a Florida State perspective, do not lose out on your first, a number one option, while you're waiting on your backup option. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think DJU, I don't think none of those kids are in a rush to make a commitment today or tomorrow. I mean, like, I think something will happen. I said after the high school class, after they figure out who they was and who they wouldn't get high school wise, you know, after the Jeremiah and all this other stuff, I think you'll see an announcement come about the quarterback they're going to take. I think it'll come probably sometime this weekend, sometime on Monday. I think it'll be resolved pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? Just because it ain't happening on our timeline don't mean it ain't gonna happen. It's gonna happen. So, you know, I'm gonna trust Sam then.
Sam say it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. They're gonna take a DJU, or they're gonna take a, you know, my whole thing is I wonder, like, how much better is DJU than Brock Glenn? Like, is he that much better? I don't know.
Are we talking today or are we talking in the future? Because DJU, he's better than Brock Glenn right now.
So he's okay. All right.
Now, will he be better than Brock Glenn in the future? I don't know that. He's better than Brock Glenn right now.
Right. But if you think he got okay. Well, all right. I didn't get into all that. I'll get into that next episode.
He better than Brock Glenn.
He probably is better than Brock Glenn, man.
We saw Brock Glenn throw up 50 something points. I mean, 50 yards, my thing is, he should not have been thrown in that situation. All fairness, again, I'm not giving up on Brock Glenn at all. Brock Glenn was thrown in the ACC championship game with no reps whatsoever in a week to prepare. He was never going to succeed in that situation. 100%, 1000%. But
I think somebody's like KJ Jefferson. I think KJ Jefferson is just like DJU. I think he's the same quarterback. I really do.
Identical.
Somebody asked me, am I done with the Jags? No. The Jags might be done, but I'm not done with the Jags.
I'm done with the Jags. I'm also done with another person. I just won't say it because y'all get mad at me every time I say it. I've been done with Trevor Lawrence, but y'all keep telling me he good, and I keep telling y'all he not. But okay.
I didn't get into that.
I know. 300 some yards a few weeks ago, and all sorts of stuff. The problem is, y'all can get me on a rant about Trevor Lawrence, and I don't want to. Trevor's great, guys. Yeah. We're fancying Brock to be rocking with.
Well, I'm not saying he's good or not good. I guess my whole thing is you bring these quarterbacks in here. Can they play? Like, what's taking so long for these guys to play? Can they play?
Hey, Brock ain't that bad. I'm going to say Brock going to get you to 5 to 6 wins. I don't know what Brock going to be next year, man, with a full offseason. If Brock is the guy and he's getting started, I think Brock can be all right. I do think agree with the 9 to 10 wins for DJU. I don't think it's 5 or 6 with Brock Glenn. I mean, you just beat Louisville with Brock Glenn, and they had a good team this season. So I it's hard for me to say that you can't beat. You know what I mean? I think it's probably 7 to 8, but it ain't 5 or 6.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, man, because I'm like, you're bringing these quarterbacks in here. Can they play? Like, can they play?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You talked about how great Brock was all – when he first got here, how he was moving past everybody. He's real good, da, 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 this and that. You know, you was saying that he was basically could be the backup quarterback over Tate. And I mean, I get that one game he played bad, but I'm just saying, can he play?
He could play.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right.
Again, I don't think he's better than Cam Ward upside. I definitely think he's better than what DJU's upside could be. But I also don't think I think if you told me we had to go into, you know, 2025 with Brock Glenn, I wouldn't feel like you don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I would think 2 years in the program, in the system, seeing it, you know what I mean? Not to mention, I think the talent that he'll have around him, I think Brock Glenn would be all right.
Okay. Because I think next year the wide receiver corps is going to be really good.
The wide receiver corps should be very good. You recruited well at that position.
I think the defensive back two years is pretty good. I think the linebacker is going to be probably not good.
Not good at all.
D-line might be, well, it's going to be okay. It ain't gonna have no depth on it.
I was just gonna say they won't have any depth, but I do think if Farmer and Jackson come back, you got Peyton and MJJ on the ends. That's a good front four. That's actually a very good front four.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't have linebackers behind them. You don't have linebackers behind them at all. But your secondary will be good. So I don't know. Maybe again, I'm gonna say that Mike knows he doesn't have linebackers, and Mike will find some linebackers in the portal. I don't know where they at. I don't know what school they play for. I don't know where they at. But I guarantee you, Mike will have two linebackers in this in the portal when we start next season.
But he better get four. He need depth.
Mike will have two line. Mike don't get depth. Mike get you starters, and them young guys gonna have to step up. Mike gonna give you two. Mike got two linebackers in his pocket. Yeah, Jackson, like I said, Jackson, Farmer.
So Payton. What do y'all actually like? We like everything. We just say we like the wide receivers, we like the DBs. We think the front line on the D-line going to be pretty good next year if, you know, everybody come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think DBs will be very good. You got five-star running, talent. And
running backs, I think the running backs will be more than serviceable.
Toa Philly will I think Toa Philly is going to be your I was gonna go too high of a compare. I think Toa Philly will be your team next year for a large part of it. Like, I think he's going to be the guy where every time you need a play, Toa Philly going to get you that play, whether run, catching, or whatever it is. I think Toa Philly is going to be your guy. Yeah, I think Toa Philly is going to be the best player on this offense next season.
Okay.
Yeah. I think wide receivers, you're going to be good. You got a lot of young talent, a lot of great playmakers. Like I said, DB is going to be great. I actually think the line going to be great. I think Patrick Payton takes another step forward that he's improved every single year. I'm not sure what MJJ can do just because I've not seen him. I mean, he's highly touted, but I don't know if he's, you know, if he can play. We'll see what happens. I think Farmer is good. And I do think he comes back. I think he's just confused as hell on how to handle this NIL situation. And I think you got Jackson. That's a good front four.
Yeah, if you get Jackson, keep Farmer, Payton, we'll see MJJ. He got to be healthy. I think he was healthy towards the end of the year at Georgia, though. But so if he's healthy, you know, we'll see what his get off look like and everything. Edmonds, that's somebody feel like they missed on, right? They feel like they didn't miss on Edmonds. So maybe he'll be ready this time. Next year, so it'd be good. But anyway, Brandon talking to all types of people. I'm about to let him off the pod.
No, man.
So
I'm like, listen, I felt like what's the name who recording them? The dude recording them TikToks in his car. I was like, you could have made more noise as you enter the room.
Hell yeah. But nah, man. So
yeah,
they're in a good place, you know.
I say, what about Billy Napier? Billy Napier getting fired next year. Next.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's I don't think he's gonna make it through the season.
That's a tough road to hoe because I think it might be a chance that Miami might be able to put a number on them next year.
Miami going to beat the brakes off of them boys.
It depends on who the quarterback is. If Miami get the right quarterback, they might be able to put a number on
them. Listen, Florida. I'm picking Miami either way, but if Miami get a quarterback, they going to beat the brakes off them jokers. Like, they ain't got much over there, and Billy can't coach. Like, it – they gonna get, and that's gonna be the thing that puts him again. He's already in the hot seat, but they go out there and get the doors blown off them by Miami.
Yeah,
I don't. He might not make it out that weekend if we're being honest. Because if Miami put a number on him, I don't know if he make it a week two. I'm gonna be honest with you because it's gonna be that fan base is gonna be loud.
It's gonna that be fan, well.
They loud
gonna...
now.
They play in Florida, so
and that's my point. If they get a number put on them in the swamp, that boy ain't making it out that weekend.
Yeah,
that boy ain't making it out that weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that.
We'll see. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, man, this is
somebody said about hold on. Somebody said Cam Ward passed on or OSU passed on Cam Ward. OSU felt like the quarterback they had behind McCoy was actually better than him. That's just something I heard. So they feel like that kid.
You can't argue. I mean, he's been in the system. Maybe they look at again. 14 fumbles is a lot of fumbles. If I'm interviewing Cam Ward, I need to know what's going on.
Right.
We can't have this. Like right. I'm interviewing you just as much as you interviewing us is what school. Because what I'm telling him is understand that this 14 interceptions can't come with you wherever you come. I mean, these 14 fumbles can't come with you.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see.
Well, all right, man.
We'll see. But I prefer Cam. I prefer Cam over DJ.
All right. Good pod.
Definitely, man. Listen, if you have not already hit the like button, hit the like button. If you have not already commented, leave a comment, man. Just go nose in the chat. And if you have not subscribed, subscribe. If you have kids, go to your kids' tablets and just subscribe. It's okay. It's okay. They won't know. You know what I mean? They're just getting alert every, you know what I mean? Whenever we open up, hit the subscribe button, sign up for notifications. You know, if you haven't already, so that way you know when we actually let it go. Cause again, be honest with you, we don't know half the time when we're gonna start. So yeah, definitely turn on your notifications so y'all know, man. So y'all can be in the chat, y'all can ask y'all questions, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, we appreciate that, man. We appreciate that, definitely. We again, that's been our goal from the beginning, man. Always try to be objective. We're not going to be too high or too low. We want to keep it neutral, man. That's what it is. Hey, man, welcome. Hit that subscribe button, man, if you're new to the channel. Enable your notifications, man. I think people expected a high class because they finished 13-0, basically the top 4-5-10. Keep in mind the other two 13-0 team, Michigan 15th and Washington 36th. There you go. I mean, but we're not Michigan or Washington, but I get you.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. Good episode.
All right, man. We out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yeah. Yeah.